Let's get this party started, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Never.
Yes, sir. Do I hear Mike in the background?
Never, ever, ever. Say what?
Do I hear Mike in the background? Big Mike?
Oh, no. The mic's out of town.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Oh, no. I got to alert you when Mike is rolling around. He's crazy.
You got to give us like a kind of a full-time warning or like that.
America,
we are officially talking sports for the 12 and 1. Welcome you again. Today is Wednesday, August the 5th, and of course this month is already flying by. We are ready to talk some sports. And I'm your host, Andre. Let me check in with my co-host, who may be eligible one day for the Hall of Fame. I don't know what Hall of Fame, but we'll make that up too. But let's kick it in with my guys. First and foremost, Mr. JQ, how are you putting this evening, sir?
Oh,
you've
been drinking Hall of Fame.
Yeah, hey, you watch out. We know how tight you were on your birthday, so you hold tight. We got reports to you. I'm good, man.
Mojitos on South Beach, beer in Atlanta.
Hey, listen, I'm living a hectic life right now. I'm unwinding with you good people. I'm good, Joy. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. He said I'm living a hectic life, man, so that's an excuse. And we got to talk in with, in America, let you know, Rob Ford is like, he's like two different people, man. He's like, mild-mannered, whatever, during the day. And then he gets kind of crazy at night, too, man. So let's check in with him, man. Rob Ford, Hateful City, man. Two different people, man.
Doing great here. Phone no complaints. Ready to talk some sports. Make it do what it do.
Phones.
Another preseason game in the books tonight. And hey, my people in Guam, don't be worried about this dude in North Korea.
Oh, yeah, dude, crazy. Yeah, I heard that. You tried to sneak that in.
I know. He's trying to be like, check his phone. I got two phones. No. All right, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's check in. And we've been having fun, too. So, of course, I am back from my Portland trip. Still not quite sure of whether I'm on the East Coast or the West Coast time, but I'll figure it out soon. But, gentlemen, let's get started. Talk some sports here. Let me throw out the numbers like we always do. If you want to reach out to us, to your boys, number to call is always that same number, 424-243-9519. We are on Facebook and Twitter handle, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us as well in that format. So, gentlemen, let's get this party started here, and we got a lot of fun topics to discuss. But I guess the biggest thing we want to kind of kick off here, and I appreciate you, Rob, as always, we're going to talk a little NBA, and then we want to kick off with some NFL, because NFL is obviously king, and I'm sure we're going to talk about some fantasy football and all that fun stuff too. And I guess just a kind of small little tidbit here about the NBA and star players resting this season, I guess does that kind of help the NBA? And I guess I'm going to let Rob kick this off too, because I'm sure it's an interesting scenario too. But does the NBA star players rest? Does it help the NBA? That's your first call, Rob.
I don't think it helps them for the national televised games at all, and I don't think it helps the NBA for when the star players are going on away games, especially when they go to some of these cities only one time a year. I definitely don't think it helps for national televised games. And as I mentioned, when star players are going into that city for one time a year and they sit out. But I definitely think it helps the NBA if those guys are healthy come playoff time. So from that aspect, you saw the NBA Finals, even though it was a mostly lopsided series, a 4-1 win by the Warriors, you saw both teams relatively healthy in the Finals, which we did not see in the Finals 2 years prior to that. 2 years ago, you saw the Cavaliers without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And then last season, even though Steph Curry played, you can tell he wasn't quite himself or he wasn't 100%. So I think when it came down to the playoffs, you saw a lot of teams at full strength. So in that regard, it was, you know, very helpful for these players to get the amount of rest and take care of their bodies throughout the season. But so there's some give and take with it. And so I guess, with you know, I think the teams have to do a better job, and the NBA has to do a better job of managing it during the regular season. I think teams should be wise with their players, but they shouldn't do it for national televised games, and they shouldn't do it when they're in the away games.
Good thoughts, Shaky.
Yeah, it's those games that go on the road, especially, you know, going against another another conference foe. Opposite conference, so to speak, to Rob's point, that they're only going to go to that city once a year. And it harkens back to when I saw that when the Cavs went to Memphis around Christmas, and a lot of Memphis fans, you know, had bought tickets as Christmas presents to see LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin, and they didn't play. They just got, you know, in the wind. So I agree, you know, they're going to have to do something about that. I think that, and Rob is right, you know, that you got to manage your players' minutes so they're fresh when, you know, all the chips are in the middle of the table come playoff time. I think what the NBA real problem was this past year is that it was a foregone conclusion in everybody's mind that we were getting the trilogy so that to some of those other games because they didn't give anybody else a chance, and it turned out to be that way. It was going to be Cleveland and Golden State. So all this movement in the offseason that's generated all this buzz, and we still got the Kyrie shoe to drop, I think that has helped the NBA as much as anything, because if you think about it, the NFL always stays on the front page, but like baseball and basketball, sometimes they slip in the offseason, but this offseason has been crazy for the NBA. So I think this is going to do more for the NBA this upcoming season than the rest of the players' issue will. There's a lot of intrigue about, you know, some of these guys that moved around, and will they, you know, be challengers in, you know, the Golden State and the Cleveland, respectively, in their conferences. So, you know, they've got to do a better job with that, but I think that's on the radar. But the NBA is one of those leagues where I think the players have so much power that, you know, they're going to have to collectively bargain that. I don't know how they do it, but they're going to have to come up with some kind of formula or something so that those, you know, when you go Eastern Conference team goes to play a Western Conference team, you know, the star players play unless there's a legitimate injury. I don't know how you prove a legitimate injury. If you got to submit x-rays or whatever, you know, to the league to say these guys can't play because of this. That's why it gets kind of murky of how you enforce it. But, yeah, they got to do a better job of that.
Yeah. You know, I agree. It's tough because, as you mentioned, you know, the Memphis thing, JQ, because I know there are certain times whenever, even here in Atlanta, you know, preseason game, I think it depends on preseason versus regular season and whatnot, too. But it's tough because, yeah, you pay tickets and you want to see that, you know, that player. You want to see LeBron James player. You want to see Michael Jordan. So, or, you know, back in the day. So, but if you didn't see that, you're going to be very frustrated because you're like, man, I spent this money and, you know, I want to see these players, obviously, in that capacity. Now, on the flip side, again, it is a challenge because if you can get hurt doing anything. So, you know, I get what you're saying too, Rob, as far as having the playoffs and everything like that. But, again, like I said, I do think there's got to be a way to manage that some way, somehow. You know, 82 games, whatever, you know, kind of reduce minutes. Little things like that I think kind of help out those players as well too. But at the end of the day, if you have injuries, it does add a little intrigue, if you will, and expectations too. So, I don't know if there's like a right or wrong answer, but I do hope some way, somehow, that coaches will kind of manage those minutes, if you will, but still get the opportunity for players to play and also for the fans to get to see what they want to see. So that's my 5 cents on that. And again, America, you can always call in and tell us your thoughts on that. You have anything else to say to that about that, Rob?
Nope. I think we covered that pretty well.
Yep. All right. This second topic is very it's kind of a hot button for me. Will New England go undefeated? I'm unequivocally going to say no. I think there's somebody's going to get picked up, but I'm going to definitely reach out to UJQ and kind of give us your thoughts. Will New England go undefeated?
I don't think so, and you know I know I'm an unabashed, you know, Patriot hater, but to be objective, I really don't think so. It's incredibly hard with injuries and just the scheduling to go undefeated. And if you look at it, you know, playing the AFC West, so you get a really good Oakland team, you get a good Kansas City team, you know, Denver's got issues at quarterback, but they're still a good team. And then you talk about on the other side, playing the NFC South, the Falcons are going to be out for a bit. They got to go to New Orleans, which is going to be it's always a tough place to play to go into New Orleans. You know, I don't know if the Panthers can have a bounce back season and kind of right the ship, but their defense is generally legitimate. So I just don't think so. And then they also have to play Pittsburgh. So they've got some tough games on schedule. Houston's defense is good. Got to play Houston. They don't, you know, outside of, you know, the AFC East, you know, they don't necessarily have cakewalk games all the way throughout the schedule. They got some games where I think they could be tripped up. I don't think they're going to be 8-8 or anything crazy. Don't get me wrong. Can they still be 12-4, 13-3? Yeah, that's probably about where they'll be. But I can't see 16-0.
I agree. Rob?
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely think they won't do not go undefeated. I think they are better on paper than they were last season when they won the Super Bowl. So I definitely think they'll be a better team, but I definitely think they will slip up here or there. Whether that be at 14-2, as JQ mentioned, 13-3, 15-1, I definitely do not see them going undefeated. And do you even want to go undefeated? The last time they went undefeated through the regular season, they lost the Super Bowl. And so that's still a strong chance, even if they go through the regular season undefeated, that that you can have that first slip up in the playoffs. So I think if you are the Patriots, you want to get that one or two losses out of the way in the regular season going into the playoffs. Gives your team motivated about something here. But I definitely think they'll lose at least two games.
Yeah, they'll probably lose. I know we'll be waiting for them, too. That's not going to mean anything. But, yeah, we'll see how that plays out for sure. Good call. All right, gentlemen, let's move along to the next topic. And let's talk about our AFC predictions here. So this is, again, as we start getting prepared here, I know the season is just getting started. There's been a lot of interesting player movements, and we know who we're targeting here. So let's go ahead and give it to you, Rob, and let's talk about who you have as far as your AFC predictions.
Let's start with the AFC North, in my opinion. JQ's favorite team, I'm going to go with the Steelers, winning the division. Obviously, with that 1-2-3 punch on offense, I think they'll be tough to beat, and they'll be good enough on defense. But offensively, if all three of those guys are healthy, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, I think they're still a team to beat in the AFC. JQ's other team, I have the Bengals in the number two spot. Joe Mixon is going to be a wild card here. I think for this offense this year, really interested to see what kind of season he has as a rookie. I think he's going to be a star, and so I think he could really light a fire in that offense. It's going to be really about Andy Dalton. You know, how far can
always
he take this team? And it's really going to fall down to him. Can he take another level or two in his game at the quarterback position? And I think that's the only hope for the Bengals to catch the Steelers. I think when you look at the rest of their roster versus the rest of the Steelers' roster, you can almost say they're similar rosters, but the quarterback play is the difference with Roethlisberger versus Dalton. The Ravens, I have them in the number three spot. Obviously, there's some question marks about Joe Flacco and his back. He is expected back for the regular season. How healthy is he going to be? Do they still have the skill positions to help that offense? That's going to be a big question mark. And the Browns, obviously, Myles Garrett is having a phenomenal camp thus far. So they're moving. They do have some talent on their roster. Quarterback play, obviously, is a big question mark. Looks like it's going to be Brock Osweiler over Cody Kessler at the starting position. I'll get to see them on tomorrow night and do some evaluations, but I still think they'll bring up the rear in that division. AFC West, I like the Raiders. I actually like the Raiders. I think they'll be the second-best team in the AFC. I like them and New England in the AFC championship game. I think the Raiders win this division. Of course, Derek Carr back healthy. So I think they'll be tough to beat. Probably have the best pass rusher in the game, and Khalil Mack. So they'll be – and then one of the better offensive lines in the game too as well. So they're really a stud. I like them to win that division. I like the Chiefs to be in second place. Alex Smith, I think, just does just enough job to get them to the playoffs as a wild card. Defensively, they'll be really strong. Offensive line as well, really strong. I like them in the number two spot. Denver and the Los Angeles Chargers, I still got to get used to saying that. I think they both were 7-9, 8-8 type teams. So they'll bring up the rear in the AFC West. AFC East, we already talked about the Pats. Like I said, I think they're somewhere around a 13-3, 14-2 team. I definitely think they get back to the Super Bowl, and they are my pick at the moment to actually go back to the Super Bowl and win it. So I like the New England Patriots. I like the Bills in the second spot. But I still think they're like a 7-9, 8-8. A lot of question marks with the Dolphins right now with Ryan Tannehill. Can Jay Cutler replace him?
Oh.
I dropped the Dolphins down to number 3 in this division. Even though there is some talent on that roster, I moved down to 3. The Jets might be the worst team in football this year, gentlemen. I mean, you're talking about a team that's probably going to fall worse than the Browns. This could be a 1-15 to 2-14 type ball club. That's how bad the New York football Jets could be this year. And I think they'll be right now, I think they're probably going to be the worst team in the National Football League.
For the 2019 and the 2017
NFL Jets, the New York Jets. How you spell Jets?
That is awful.
Oh, that was nice.
That's
I had that queued up already. That was nice.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
All right. And last but not least, AFC South. I like the Titans. They came on really strong. Marcus Mariota's back healthy. They're my team in this division. I think they could be a 10-6, 11-5 type ball club this year. They're my pick in AFC South. Colts and Texans and Jaguars, I think all three of those teams will be really close. I think they're right in that 6-10 to 8-8 mix, those three teams. There won't be that much of a difference between those three teams, but I definitely think the Titans will be the standout team in this division. So we look at the four division winners. I already talked about the Patriots over the Titans. I'm sorry, the Patriots over the Raiders in the AFC Championship game. I think the Steelers will be that 3 seed. I think the Titans will be that 4 seed. And when we look at wild cards, I like the Chiefs and I like the Bengals as the two wild cards.
Oh,
very nice. Okay, all right. Yeah, JQ, the floor is yours, man.
Yeah, I agree with all the division winners and most of the second through fourth picks. I think that's a good call. But I'm going to go ahead and take a hot take and say that I think Tennessee takes the 2 seed. I really like that Tennessee team. I think they take a big step forward. They've got a really good offensive line. They can ground and pound you with that two-headed monster at running back with Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray. I really like that Tennessee team in the 2 spot. And then I think it's close between them and Oakland and Pittsburgh, that 2-4. The wild cards, I think the Texans defense still does just enough to get them in there as a wild card. And that 6th one is a toss-up. I'm real worried about that Bengals offensive line. That's the biggest question mark for them. Can they open holes up for Joe Mixon? Can they keep Andy Dalton upright? I worry about them. I would love to take them in that 6th spot, but it's hard for me to do that. I think I'm going to go with Kansas City in the 6th spot. I know this is out there, but I think my AFC Championship game is New England and Tennessee. And unfortunately, I think New England goes back to the Super Bowl.
Wow. That's good stuff, man. You're on the Tennessee Titan bandwagon. I like it, man. That's good stuff, man.
I am.
I like it, man. And I kind of agree with a lot of you guys as far as the predictions here. I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen too, because there's a couple of teams that are just kind of like kind of questionable at quarterback. And like we talked about, Jacksonville's Blake Bortles the answer. I mean, because, you got a good draft winner for Fournette. I'm just asking the question. We're going to talk about Andrew Luck a little later. And like you said, I'm sure there's some questions with the Broncos as far as, Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. Does he really want to take that? So there's still some questions with that. Rest assured, all my Jets fans, Robert Ford is going to get a Geno Smith jersey for you guys to kind of, like, make sure that he's okay.
not Geno.
It's kind of a questionable thing as far as that, too. But good calls. And, right now it does appear that New England is definitely in the driver's seat as well. They definitely added some more firepower, had a great draft, adding Brandon Cooks. So, again, it does appear like they are definitely going to repeat in that AFC Championship and also Super Bowl too. So we'll keep that going. We'll talk about a little bit more. Let's talk about the quarterback here. Let's talk about, obviously, Deshaun Watson. And he was just in the preseason game. And I guess the question is, will he start in game one? And I'm going to throw it to you, Rob, and your thoughts. I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to watch a little of the highlights. And, kind of impressive right now. I'm a big fan of Deshaun. I'm going to hope he does well. And you're going to wonder if Cleveland made a mistake here. And then, again, shout out to my pops, my father-in-law. in California because he was a huge fan of Deshaun, even though I know the 49ers didn't draft him. But tell us your thoughts. Do you think he's going to start game one? Do you think he's going to be the guy for the Houston Texans?
I tell you what, obviously we're talking about a preseason game, and he came in, of course, you know, when the backups were in the game for the most part. But you got to like what you saw out of him tonight. You know, completed a high percentage of his passes. He ran the ball really well. Of course, ran for a touchdown. So it looked pretty solid, in my opinion. It's still too early to tell. But if I'm the Houston Texans, this guy was a winner in college, played some big-time college mm-hmm. football. One of the few quarterbacks in the college level was able to beat a Nick Saban coach football team. If I'm the Texans, I'm starting them day one. I know Tom mm-hmm. Savage is still very much in the mix, and there's still a lot of people out there that really think Savage is going to be the starter this year, and maybe they throw Watson in the fire next year. But, hey, I mean, you spent the first-round draft pick on this kid. The guy's a proven winner. I would go ahead and start him and give him an opportunity to take over this Tennessee offense for the future.
Wow. Your thoughts on that, JQ?
Yeah, so I was doing the G-Braves game, so I didn't get a chance to watch the preseason game. But I did get a chance to read that quote from DeAndre Hopkins that said, you know, I am one of the few people that should be able to listen to when you talk about evaluating quarterbacks, because I've had like four or five quarterbacks in the 3 years, and I believe that Tom Savage is the best quarterback on our roster right now. So when your star wide receiver says that, it's going to be tough for Deshaun Watson to overcome that. I didn't look the mm-hmm. schedule to see when Houston's bye week is, but, you know, I'm guessing if they get off to a, you know, 3-3, barely make 3-3 start, or 2-4 start, if they don't make that pool, I think they start with Tom Savage based off that, unless Tom really falters during these next preseason games, especially that third one when it's basically the dress rehearsal. But I think they give Tom Savage every ability to start. I think that was always their plan, was to have him start and give him a look to see what could happen and try to bring Deshaun along slowly. But I don't think they're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater and just go all in on Savage if he gets off to a journeyman quarterback kind of stats where you're like, okay, he gives you glimpses, but, you know, is he just Ryan Fitzpatrick 2.0 where he has some good games and he has some bad games, and you look up and you say, okay, we don't want Tennessee to get too far ahead of us to fall out of this wild card pitcher, and they don't turn it over to Deshaun. So I think Tom Savage starts week one, but I think you see Deshaun Watson before the season is over, somewhere around the 6th or 7th game mark.
Gotcha. So that's fair enough, too. Good call. I mean, like you said, you know, again, it's like I'm torn because I kind of agree with Robert because, you know, you definitely want to get him in there. But now, you know, we're not on the inside. We're not watching practices and whatnot, too. And then, you know, if you're an older receiver, you're probably, hey, you know, at this time, I want to win now. So there may be a little learning curve for Deshaun Watson from that respect, mm-hmm. too. Or, like I said, if he's coming in and doing his thing, that's one of the conversation. But right now, they're kind of watching it in the meeting room. Deshaun has he's got a huge amount of potential in him. So, you know, like I said, maybe bring him along slowly, and then you know that whenever he's ready, he'll take over for that too. So great call, gentlemen. I love it, and we'll continue on here. Let's talk about speaking of some quarterback pressure here, and I guess I want to talk about – we're also going to talk about some news here that's been happening today too about Jay Cutler getting signed too. But who's under more pressure right now, Andrew Luck or Cam Newton? I'm going to throw this to you, JQ. Your thoughts?
I think it's Andrew Luck. Let's be honest with you. And I know his offensive line hasn't been great, but you remember all the fanfare that Andrew Luck came out with. And you know, right or wrong, you can't say wins and losses-wise that he's lived up to that hype. And now you talk about his shoulder, and they don't really know if he's going to start the season, you know, as a starter, if he's going to be, you know, carrying the clipboard until he gets fully healthy. So I think it's really Andrew Luck. I think he's in the show improved season. You know, they've had problems with the GM and the head coach relationship. But I think it's going to be on him to kind of put that team on his back and carry him. And Cam, don't get me wrong, has pressure. But Cam has also been to a Super Bowl and been close, you know, to walking away with a ring. Andrew Luck can't say that. So at this point, you know, I think Cam, given the stuff that he says and his antics and definitely that crazy-ass clothes that he wears, but I think that he has a little bit more bankroll to this point that Andrew Luck does, to where if, you know, he can't have the year he had last year, don't get me wrong, but if he has a somewhat decent year and you look at that Carolina team and you say, oh, well, it wasn't Cam, it was these two factors is why they didn't reach their potential, he'll get a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. I just think that Andrew Luck this year has got to come out healthy and put that team on his back and lead them and win games they shouldn't win, but they won it because he's Andrew Luck and he was the the savior that everybody thought he was going to be coming out of school, coming out of Stanford. So I think the pressure is a little bit more on Andrew Luck this year.
Rob Poor.
I think JQ said everything I was pretty much going to say. Absolutely right. I totally agree on this one. Definitely all the pressure is on Andrew Luck. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was supposed to be the second coming of Peyton Manning. They wasn't going to miss a beat. They were going to be in the playoffs every year. And, I mean, he's been solid, but their team has not played up to the level you would have thought of a quarterback for Andrew Luck. And as JQ mentioned, Cam Newton was just in the Super Bowl two seasons ago. And so it's definitely all on Andrew Luck. And as we just talked about a moment ago, neither one of us think that the Colts are going to win a division this year. And I have them as a middle-of-the-pack kind of ball club, 7-9, 8-8 at best is what I see out of this team. But definitely I think all the pressure between Cam Newton and Andrew Luck definitely has to be Andrew Luck.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. And it's tough because, I mean, this guy was pretty much the second coming. The excitement about Indiana Colts. I mean, you had Peyton. You figure you're going to get another Peyton Manning with Andrew, and it just hasn't been good. Now,
suck for luck.
I will say, yeah, suck for luck. I remember that. I will say that, you know, again, the team hasn't made the best decisions, whether it was, you know, a couple of moves as far as free agency and some trades here, you know, trading for Trent Richardson and not getting the best. So I'm not saying that that's all Andrew Luck's fault. But, again, he has to definitely step up and be able to elevate that team to another level because, you know, Cam has been to Super Bowl. And, you know, Andrew, he just, you know, I don't know, man. You just expected him to, you know, kind of be that guy. And he hasn't quite stepped up just yet, too. So, you know, again, we'll see how it plays out. Maybe he'll surprise us. And, like I said, it's just
Cam.
One of those things. Yeah.
Yeah, Cam has an MVP, too.
Yeah.
We keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got an MVP award on the mantle as well. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely on luck.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely luck. I agree with you, both of you guys, on that.
He's
going right, to
need some luck on his side, too.
Yes, sir.
He will.
Yes, sir.
Got about 17 minutes in the show. Let's talk about Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram, and this is a bone for Rob. But good news, I'm going to throw some Falcons news in here. But can Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram coexist at running back for the Saints? And, I mean, yeah, I'd be dumb not to kick it to you, Rob. So, yeah, your thoughts on this, man. Okay.
Well, just some early reports, it looks like it's, you know, if you watch Sean Payton's offense here in the last 10 years or so, he's always interchanged his running backs. So he's never been the kind of guy that's going to give one running back the ball 30 times. He's going to mix and match. He wants to have quite a few options at the running back positions in every game and throughout the season so he can have some guys fresh. And I'm pretty sure he sold that to Adrian Peterson. Like, hey, we think we can probably squeeze another 2 to 3 years out of you by limiting your carries to maybe 10 to 15 as opposed to what you were getting with the Vikings. So I'm going to say, obviously, yes. I think Ingram is the guy that's going to be the lead guy, though, especially based on the season he had on last season. But I'm going to say you're going to see these two guys interchangeable. And Alvin Kamara, the rookie from Tennessee, is having a really good camp so far as well. So obviously you got to see it, you know, once he's, you know, start playing underneath the lights and going forward. But you're going to see them probably interchange all three of those guys, not just Ingram and Peterson. So, yeah, based on the Sean Payton offense, he's definitely going to interchange those backs quite often.
Rob, go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, and the Saints will continue to be a conundrum for all of us fantasy football players because it's going to be hard every week to figure out who's going to actually, you know, get the most points out of that backfield. But I agree with Rob. I think they will be able to coexist, and for everything that he just said, that's how Sean Payton rolls. And if you think about it, you're really going to get, I think, Adrian Peterson to be the big back role that I think Ingram has been playing. Is going to, how it's going to shake out. And I've read some reports where Ingram has been running a lot of those same plays that Pierre Thomas used to run, you know, able to still run between the tackles and a little outside and catching passes out the backfield. And you hit the nail on the head with Kamara. I think he's going to be a little bit bigger, you know, Dan Sproles, so to speak, you know, Swiss Army knife in that offense, returning kicks and catching passes and whatnot. So I think they have three defined roles that Sean Payton wants to keep moving for his offense. And he doesn't want Drew Brees to take that beating and to keep dropping back and throwing it 45 to 50 times a game to win, because it's been proven that while they can score points and have some video game type numbers, you know, sometimes they put their defense in a bit of a tricky spot and they lose some of those, you know, high end kind of shootouts. So you kind of want to be able to run the ball and play some ball control and not have Drew Brees have to do everything. So I think in order for that to happen, those three will have to coexist. And I think they can.
You know, I'm going to say it's an interesting scenario because, you know, coexist is a nice word. I mean, you can, you know, walk the talk, you know, kind of fake the funk. But in your heart of hearts, I mean, is everyone so happy? And that's the question, too. I don't think that Mark Ingram is totally excited about the Adrian Peterson signing, to be honest. Well, you can
probably
say
not.
That, but I will say, yeah, and then also drafting, you know, Kamar, you're not like, yay, happy team. So that's going to be the challenge, you know, right now because – you know, again, you can say all the right things, but I really don't think he's happy about that. So that's the thing you got to watch. That's just from the outsider's perspective, Rob. So
winning
cures
all. It's been like
that
the whole time. It's been like that for Mark Ingram's whole career, so it's nothing new.
Right.
So
okay.
he should be used to it by now.
That's true.
He should be used to it, but it's going to motivate him, yeah, but it's just one of those things. He's not like, yay, I'm happy about this. So that's kind of where I'm kind of curious as far as if it's all kumbaya for sure, you know. Now again, you know, A.J. Peterson different, you know, he's probably going to be more of the running, you know, on first and second down, and then, you know, obviously, you know, obviously Sean Payton knows what he's doing here, but it's just one of those things you really do wonder if it really is kumbaya. So we'll keep an eye on that, Rob. I mean, like I said, you know, coexist, I mean, they'll probably just, you know, it's kind of like by arrangement, we'll kind of figure out what we can do, but.
But you know what, real quick, glad you
like
say that.
Yeah.
As we say that, there's one thing that we haven't touched on, and is Adrian Peterson still Adrian Peterson? And we think he should be, and they've all said that he looks great in camp, but the lights haven't come on. They ain't really been sticking they're going to. Is he still that guy? Because they may end up to the fact where Ingram doesn't have to coexist with him because the proof is in the pudding on the field that Adrian Peterson is washed up and he's not the AP that we think he is. So Ingram gets those carries, and then Kamara moves.
It could be Ingram and Kamara.
it really could be.
Yep.
So, you know, we
really
got to let that play out. So,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So we got to let that play out and see if Adrian Peterson is really back. I mean, I've heard great things about him, but that, you know, until we see him get on the field and go back to being it after what we saw before he got hurt last year, even before he got hurt, he still wasn't really running the ball that effectively. And I was Adrian Peterson owner, so I know firsthand that he was not. So – we still got to see if that's going to shake out, if he's going to be able to revert back to his old ways or if he kind of just becomes a glorified signing. Whereas week 3, 4, 5 rolls on, they start to phase him out. And like Rob said, you get that 1-2 punch, and it's not Peterson and Ingram, but it's Ingram and Kamara.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Good
well,
call.
Obviously, you know, before Peterson got hurt this past season, you know, he was averaging barely, I want to say, not even 2 yards a carry. And Mark Ingram, was near. Mark Ingram was averaging over 5 yards a carry last season. I think he either led the league or near the top as far as rush per carry on last season. So I mean that's a big difference when you have a guy that barely, I think, was under 2 yards a carry versus a guy over 5 yards a carry. Obviously, the Vikings' offensive line was a big part of that, and they struggled tremendously on the offensive line aspect of it. So, yeah, these are some things that we're going to have to evaluate. And, obviously, we all know what the Saints' first game of the season is at Minnesota. That's going to be real interesting. Adrian Peterson going back to Minnesota.
And
wow.
That game,
we'll see.
If you got Adrian Peterson on your squad, you got to start that dude because they're going to give him every opportunity to go plumb buck wild on Minnesota.
I love it. We're going to take a little detour here, guys, and I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about what happened with the Dolphins and that they convinced Jay Cutler to come out of the booth, if you will. And what do you think about this move? We were just literally talking about that because I'm thinking whenever we talked about this last week, we were pretty much arguing about cap. And next thing you know, freaking Jay Cutler, man. What are your thoughts about that, JQ? Is that like or just it kind of shows you how low the Dolphins have fallen here?
Well, I mean, if you want to be honest, it's really kind of gone back to a good old boy system kind of thing where Adam Gase said, you know, Cutler knows my offense, so I'm going to bring him in, and I can use that as my prop. And I don't know if he wanted to use it as a prop or if it was just a reverting back to familiarity of, you know, he's not that far removed. I can bring him back. It's not like he's been in the booth for 3 years. You know, he hasn't even called a game yet. So Adam Gase is like, I can bring this guy in and get the best out of him. I don't think they even really considered Kaepernick. The thing that stuck in my craw about it is the report coming out that they considered Tim Tebow. And I said, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, that's
so you got Kaepernick sitting out here, and you're talking about Tim Tebow? Like, you know, that to me was crazy in Miami, but that, you know, that's why Miami is not back to where they have been in the past in those Dan Marino days. I wasn't overly surprised at it because I think as we talked about it ad nauseum, and it still needs to be talked about, but that's just where they are with Kaepernick right now. I just don't think he's going to have to get a rash of injuries, not only to starters, but to backups to where, like, okay, you have not that you have any kind of reason now because we all know it's BS. But if those things happen in the training camp and the preseason games, you're like, come on, he's still sitting out there. We know you BS and you're full of you know what. But I'm not surprised at what Adam Gase did because, you know, it's the same way that GMs can do a horrible job and get hired again by a different team. And head coaches the same way. A lot of the times it comes down to that with quarterbacks as well, where a dude feels like I can fix that guy or he knows my system, so he'll play better for me. And I think that's what you've run into with the Dolphins with Adam Gase and Jay Cutler.
Brian Griese is not walking through that door, Miami fans. Go ahead, Rob.
Not Brian Griese.
I don't think they want him.
Right. They locked the door.
Yeah. Now, Dan Marino in his prime is a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, there were only two options for the Dolphins. It was either Cutler or it was going to be Cap, and we know what the situation is with Cap right now. But it sucks. I mean, Jay Cutler, I mean, you just – normally when you sign quarterbacks at this point in the year off the street, they're not getting $10 million.
Right.
No, that's what got me.
Normally you're
going to
get a guy
deal.
Like Josh McCown, one-year deal, $1.5 million.
Right.
And
right,
he's
like
3.25
or something, yeah.
Yeah, he's getting $10 million.
He got pictures, man. I'm convinced.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, as far as it had to be either Cutler or Cap, and I'm thinking based on what the Dolphins want to do offensively, Cutler is probably a better fit than Cap is. You know, let's just be real here. But I don't think – he's definitely not the answer. So, I mean, we already talked about – I actually had the Dolphins number two in the division and a wild card team with a healthy Tannehill. But I moved him down to number three in the division and not making the playoffs. So we'll have to see. Yeah.
Yep. That's spot on. I can't – yeah, you can't argue with that. And you're absolutely right. I mean – I, the problem I have with it is no faith in Kaepernick as a veteran in this league to be able to adjust. And if you want to be honest, having a Jaire in the backfield and having a Landry and I can never remember my man's name from Oklahoma that they got. I just they have a decent, somewhat skill set in Miami, you know, and it's just that. You're not giving Cap the opportunity to even prove it. And you know, Jay Cutler is who he is. Like, I feel like Cap can have improvement. He can do some different things where you feel like, okay, he's still young enough and pliable enough to make some changes in his game. Jay Cutler is going to sit there and sulk and look crazy and make bad decisions. And, all you know, that's who that guy is. He's not going to change at 30-something, you know, 35, whatever he is, years old at this point. That's just who he is. It's just Adam Gase saying, that's my homeboy. You know, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my homeboy. And but Rob is absolutely correct. It's crazy to say that Tannehill makes that much of a difference over Cutler, because it's not be ridiculous to say Tannehill is just a guy. We're like, you know what, that dude was going to just set the league on fire. I don't think any of us think that. But I still think it's a correct statement to say going from Tannehill to Cutler takes you from being a 5 or 6 seed in the wild card to a 8th or 9th seed and missing the playoffs. I think that's a totally valid argument.
And even dropping a spot in their division. And Tannehill showed a lot of promise last season as well, as far as his game finally developing and taking that next step. But the thing about Jay Cutler here, too, is not only from a skill set, but also from a health standpoint, and can he stay healthy? And so that's a big question mark before he realizes that he hurt his pinky toe. And he's going to have to come out of about 5 or 6 games And so, and that's the reality with Cutler. And it's always been, you know, seemed like something that's very nitpicky that will hold him out of a football game.
He always looks salty.
And that's, so you're signing Cutler, but in reality, how many games are you going to actually get out of him before you're playing that guy who's even underneath Cutler? And that's really the main part of why you're dropping him down.
Yeah, and you heard him say, yeah, I'm a quarterback, so the condition is not really a factor. It's like, come on, Jay. Man, I mean, that you might think that, and that could be true, but you can't say that as the leader of the team coming in to replace the quarterback. Just feel like, yeah, you know, I ain't been running, but I'm playing quarterback, so I can be fat and out of shape. Like, you can't say that and have people take you seriously. Even if you're joking, no other good quarterback worth the salt is going to say that. Even if they feel like they can get it off as a joke, they still are not going to say that. And that lets you know that Jay Cutler is still who you thought he was, you know, and, you know, crown him. As Green would have said, RIP. But that's pretty much who he is.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Good call. All right, so I want to talk about this. We got about 4 minutes here. I do want to talk about a couple things here, and that if you didn't know, the Falcons signed Devontae Freeman to an extension here. $41.25 million. And I want to ask you guys, there was about 8 running backs that were selected in front of Devontae Freeman. I want to get your thoughts about this. This is a good move. And see if you remember these names, if you will, here. Bishop Sankey, remember him?
Yeah, Washington.
Yep, one back here. Jeremy Hill for your Bengals. I'm saying, would you rather have Devontae or would you rather have Jeremy Hill? So that's
Devontae
call.
For sure.
Right
Devontae
now, for
here,
sure.
You got Carlos Hyde, interesting here, if you will.
I'll stay.
Yep.
Charles Sims III. I don't even know what Charles Sims is doing here, but he was selected.
Tampa Bay.
Trey Mason.
Yeah, he got
Where's
cut.
Trey Mason? Terrence West was another running back here. Jerick McKinnon. Yeah. Jerick McKinnon, believe it or not, and then he had Dree Archer was selected from the Steelers, if you will.
Yep. The little dude. Yeah. Yeah, Devontae is worth the money. I think it's worth the salt. You talk about coexisting. I don't think Tevin Coleman is all that happy with that happening with Devontae Freeman, to be honest with you. But they are an explosive 1-2 punch the way that Tevin Coleman is all that happy with Devontae Freeman getting that contract, because that pretty much means that he's not getting re-signed by Atlanta unless he takes a pay cut, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
You can't sign 2 running backs for that kind of money. So you talk about Kumbaya with Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram. What does that do for Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman? But I think Devontae Freeman is worth that money.
This is just Tevin Coleman's second year, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is.
So you probably realistically you're going to be able to hold on to him at least 2 more years. At this stage, it's a good deal for the Falcons because they're going to be able to keep. They still got. When you count this coming season and 2 years after that, you're going to be able to keep them for at least 3 more years if they're both healthy.
Yep, good call. Like I said, I just thought it was interesting because I was looking at that. They're like, man, a couple running backs are selected. So, you know, good value. And obviously, this is going to Le'Veon Bell is probably like looking at this contract too and figuring out some options too. So I'm glad we signed before Le'Veon Bell because, you know, that's going to probably set the market too. Rob, we got a minute and 20-something seconds. You want to set up the OT portion as we get ready to go, sir. Go ahead, my friend.
OT portion, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking a little bit of baseball. So our baseball fans definitely want to click on the same link on tomorrow and get a little baseball talk. We're getting down to the stretch run here of the season. So we only got about another month and a half before we start talking some playoff baseball. So you definitely want to tune in to the OT portion. Next week, what night are we rolling on, fellas?
Don't mind me.
Yeah, I think we do Wednesday again. We'll see.
Wednesday night, people. Wednesday. Is it Thursday?
Go for it. No, Wednesday's fine.
Yeah, Wednesday's fine. Yep.
Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss us. Obviously, we're in the heart of the football preseason right now. Next week, we're going to give you our NFC predictions. Once again, next week, we're going to give you all of our NFC predictions, so you don't want to miss the show on next week and whatever else is happening in the sports world. We're going to have it for you. Talking sports with the 12th man. We're here to stay, people. Join us next week. Good night.
JQ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for listening to us. And, you know, it's your boy's 40th birthday on Friday, so I'm going to try to be cool and not get into too much trouble and make sure I see the day after my 40th birthday, so to speak. So I'll holler at y'all next week.
Hide your beer. Hide your wine.
And he'll see that he don't drink wine. I'm not that sophisticated. I drink liquor and beer.
I love it. Oh, man. Awesome. Man, awesome is awesome. I love it. All right, gentlemen. We are officially into the OT portion here. And let's talk about some baseball here. And I guess, yeah. Wrapping this up, but who is the favorite, JQ, for the AL Cy Young winner?
Oh, man, for the AL Cy Young winner, I don't think it's really going to be close. I think it's going to be Chris Sale. That was just an incredible move for Boston. You were thinking you were going to get him with David Price and Porcello and those other two, and Porcello just not performing, and then Price, you know, yelling at Eckersley and then getting hurt. I think it's going to be Chris Sale. I really do. I think he now has the most double-digit strikeout games. He just has been phenomenal for that Boston team. And, you know, the run support he's going to get, we know, with the Killer Bees in that lineup, I think it's going to be Chris Sale.
Nice. Your thoughts on this, Rob?
I totally agree. So far he's pitched 161 innings, got 229 strikeouts. Man. Nobody else in the American or National League is even close. 229 strikeouts.
Yeah,
guys.
Ignorant.
Yeah. I mean, 14-4, 2.57 ERA. Yeah, right now it looks like he's cakewalking to the Cy Young Award.
Cakewalking. Good call. And I guess this was a subject for Rob here. I don't know how it always happens here, but will the Yankees make the playoffs? I guess is the question here. Go ahead, Rob.
I think they definitely will get in as a wild card. I don't know how long they'll last in the playoffs, but it looks as though I think they sneak in. They get a wild card. Still a very young team, so I had no intentions of them making a playoff this year. So I think it's quite an accomplishment for them to get to the playoffs. But obviously, I don't expect him to be a championship contender.
Agree with all that. I agree.
All right. Like I said, man.
It's the Aaron Judge show. And
yeah.
He's putting
him
on his back. You know, he's putting him on his back. And, I mean, I think, you know, Boston wins the division. I think they're getting in as a wild card. I really do. If you look around, you know, the other divisions, you know, they're sitting there. I believe they're leading the wild card right now with the first wild card by 2 games right now. So it's still tenuous, so to speak, but I think they find a way because they can score runs for sure. They can just flat out bomb, and that can be enough to get them in there, but I don't think the rotation is strong enough in order for them to be a real threat to get to the World Series when you got to go through Houston and then Cleveland.
Yep.
Yeah.
And plus Aaron Judge, he's still recovering from a little slump here too. So he hasn't quite been the same player here in the second half.
That home run derby.
Yep. So he put it all on the line on that Monday night down the South Beach partying with JQ.
Yes, sir.
Oh!
All in.
He said partying with me. Man, all in.
I wish. Because I know he had a party. I was on the B and C side party. He was on the A-plus party.
JQ, like how... How do I sign up for that part? That's what JQ's saying. Let me figure this out.
Right.
Oh, man. Just minus the pictures, man, as well. But, no, good calls on that front. And you know, like I said, I'm sure we'll talk about the kind of the predictions here as the season kind of wraps up, too. You know, there's been some, you know, kind of interesting moves, if you will. But, again, we'll see how that plays out. We got some time here for the season. And very excited to see how that plays out, as we always like to say, too. And I guess I'm excited, too. I know we're kind of, like, running out of topics here, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, fantasy football is coming out, so we're excited about that. Gentlemen, you kind of ready for that? You getting prepared for fantasy football and everything like that? JQ?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You know me. I'm ready. I got a lot to live up to this year after, you know, what happened last year. I won one football, won one basketball. So, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's interesting because, you know, I'm an old school guy and I like to have running backs. if y'all haven't noticed how I tailor my roster. But, you know, we're still continuing down that path of the, you know, running back like a mid, a Christian McCaffrey, a Joe Mixon, you know, some of these places where you might get maybe more of a lead dog.
Don't tell me you draft it.
Piece happening. I mean, I think everybody's looking at them like that. So, you know, you want to have a solidified running back. And I think, you know, the quarterback position is going to be a lot deeper. You know, you can probably wait and get an Andrew Luck later and maybe make him your second quarterback until that injury sorts itself out and you see what happens as the season goes on. So all the possibilities that are there right now in terms of fantasy, in terms of where you are, who guys like and who they take and who they overreach for, I'm always into fantasy football and especially the draft to see what kind of team I can come away with. So I'm excited.
Good, Rob.
it's you know, one of the exciting things about football season, fantasy football. I mean, it has you, and I find myself being in tunes to games that I normally wouldn't even care about just to watch certain players play and things of that nature, especially if they're on any of the teams. So you're definitely a lot more engaged in so many different games with fantasy football. All the games, frankly. You want to see the Thursday
all
night game because you got a fantasy impact in it. The games on Sunday, the games on Monday night, Sunday night, any games, Saturday games when you're close to the end of the year. So they all have an impact on your fantasy football teams. So it keeps you engaged tremendously.
Mm-hmm. As a defending champ, I'm looking forward to this as well. It's going to be fun. See you and take the title. If I can repeat here, but I concur so much, man. And actually, I do have some fantasy football books. If you guys want me to send them out to you, let me know. I got a guy that works for the magazine spot too. So, but I'm just saying they're free, you know. So if you want those, give me a shout out. I got you guys, man. It's the regular fantasy football, like Street and Smith and stuff like that, man. That's
I'm
like,
messing
you know,
with you, Dre. I'm messing
okay.
with you. Bro.
All right. Okay.
You
gotta
cover,
like,
man.
You know. I give you no help, bro. How about that?
Like Martin Lawrence and Bad Boys. Like, I don't need no help.
All right. Well, that's what we like to do. So anyway, I'm excited about that. Rob is cracking me up, man. And Robin, tell us what he is.
Man,
he tell us what you ate, bro. Hey, man, I was going to say, are you in Houston or are you in the New Orleans, man? Because I know there's been a lot of rain, heavy rain in Houston. Are you okay? Everything good, bro?
Oh, yeah. I've been back and forth between Houston and New Orleans. I'm in Houston now. I've been back and forth between both cities. Both of them been getting a lot of rain the last few days.
Okay.
Man, some hurricanes.
Yeah. Hurricane wind. All right. Well,
yes, sir.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to wrap up and say if you had anything else, man. If not, we'll wrap up the show shortly here, man. So unless you had anything else to say, man, because, again, it's good for me because your boy is finally hitting some jet lag here. But do you have anything else to say? I'm kind of throwing that to open floor for you guys, man. So yeah.
Nah, I think we hit everything. I'm pretty good. Like I said, I wish I could have watched Houston play tonight just so I could do some more of my own scouting. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, shout out to the G-Braves. You know they lost. It's been a good experience, but I'm ready for football season to get started, college and pro. You know, I'm reserved about my Bengals because you know I think we got big holes. We're excited about the Buckeyes, but I know that they may not get back to that promised land. But it is what it is. But we're almost at that sign, at that point of the season, or the year rather, where you kind of got you know start to get those butterflies where you know with your team you're ready for them to get on the field and see what they can do. But it ain't quite there yet. So, you know, you're trying to hold your horses and not get too carried away. So that's pretty much why I am right now. You know, my Reds suck, so I don't have any really baseball rooting interest right now. I'm ready. I'm ready for some football for sure.
Oh, yeah, that time of the year. We'll hit them pads popping.
And shout out to the G-Braves, too. But my thing that I'm upset about is the fact that they're actually changing the name, which you know why they're changing the name,
God.
Right? It's so terrible.
Well, what I've been told is because people keep confused. They have a contest going, but they have some awful suggestions coming.
Yeah, terrible.
But what I've been told is that they keep getting people confused between the Gwinnett Braves and the Atlanta Braves, and people actually buy tickets for the Gwinnett Braves thinking they're going to go see the Atlanta Braves. So if you look at minor league teams, most minor league teams, even at the AAA level, have a totally different nickname than the parent club, except for the Braves. So those two things, they're trying to, you know, cash in on the new stadiums and, you know, rebrand and get some more drums, some more interest. But the names are awful. So it's probably going to be the Buttons because of Button Gwinnett or whoever.
The Buttons.
Because Button Gwinnett founded Gwinnett County. So it's like an homage to the founder of the county since they're playing Gwinnett County. That name sucks, and I hate it. Like, what are you going to have? You're just going to walk around and button downs with buttons on it where it say the Jeep with Gwinnett thing. Like, it's just dumb, and I hate that they're going to do, but that's the leader in the
y'all
club.
Y'all ain't seen dumb until y'all heard the New Orleans minor league baseball team.
Baby cakes.
Yeah, the New Orleans baby cakes.
I have a trivia question. I'm gonna ask you that trivia question next week, guys. As far as the names of some minor, it's gonna blow your mind because Rob, you had the Big Mouse. Because the reason I know, because I was you know, I still follow the G Braves. Big Mouse, Hush Puppies, Sweet Teas, the Gobblers, or the Lamb Chops. Yeah, those are the names that they were. I was like, man, is there a kid that's coming up with these names? They were just so terrible.
They're awful.
It was like that was the worst thing ever.
The Sweet Teas, made the finals. The Sweet Teas, like as in the Sweet Teas drink.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But people in Atlanta do like the Sweet Tea.
and they voted the Lamb Chops in so they could keep the chop in motion from the tomahawk. That's why the Lamb Chops made it. But it's the Lamb Chops. Mm-hmm. I was like, come on, Gwinnett. Man, these are awful.
All right, let me ask you this question here.
I'm a New Orleans native, but the baby cakes, that's ridiculous.
So I'm going to ask you if these teams are real or fake, all right? The Akron Rubber Ducks. Real or fake?
That's correct because of the tire industry.
Okay. Santa Cruz Clownfish.
That I don't know about.
I'm going to say correct.
You going to say what?
Correct.
That is a fake name. The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, real or fake?
The Jumbo Shrimp is a real team name. I don't know if it's Jacksonville, but that's a real team name. So I'm going to say correct.
That's real. That's real. That's actually Jacksonville, yeah. What about the Tucson Cacti?
That makes sense for Tucson, but I think that's false. I think you threw that in there to throw me off.
That's fake. The El Paso Chihuahuas.
Wow.
Real?
I have no idea.
That's real. Yeah, that's a real team. Yeah, okay. The Corvallis Lumberjacks. Corvallis Lumberjacks.
I don't know. Like Corvallis, Oregon? Corvallis, Oregon?
Corvallis. Yeah, I think it's Corvallis. Yeah, Corvallis, Corvallis.
I'm going to say true. True.
That's a fake team. We already talked about the baby cakes. The Duluth Blizzard. I
don't think Duluth has a team, so I'm going to say fake.
That's fake, yeah.
Duluth, Minnesota?
Duluth, Minnesota, yep. Yep, that's a fake. That's a good call. You have the Bingham Rumble Ponies. Rumble Ponies.
True, because that's so ridiculous.
That is actually true.
We'll see.
Then you have the Las Cruces, if you will.
Wow. That's fake.
That's fake. Yeah, there it is. But the reason why we had that question because it was about, like, you know, some inspiration behind that, too. So that's terrible that folks can't figure out between Gwinnett Braves and Lina Braves, but that's just me. But, yeah, Rob, that's how you do it. But anyway.
You ain't getting no $20 ticket to sit front row for the Atlanta Braves in a new stadium. People are dumb. Like, really? Yeah. You really thought you was going to sit for $20 in the front row? Yeah, for the Gwinnett Braves, you could sit front row for $20, but not for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah. And I'll be there, too, for that. I'm going to spend $40 and get, like, all the food I can eat and have those, like, prime seats behind the dugout, and that's where I'm going to be. But, again, that's a whole other conversation. But, anyway.
Make sure you get on Jumbotron.
Oh, man. I feel the love, man. I'm just kind of curious to see if we are able to – Nest the Chopper and then, you know, the guy that does the sound effects, man, it's going to bring me back. You hear, like, the sounds and click effects, and it still has all my cues in there, too, because
Oh, yeah, if you tell me where you're sitting, I'm going to get you on the Jumbotron, but I will make sure the chopper comes up there.
Crack, I love it, I love it. Anyway, fun times, man. So we'll talk soon about
that. Take the pity out of your mouth, and you got to stop being baby saints.
Oh, my gosh. Rob did not just put that on the air. Rob, oh, man. It's officially a wrap. Rob, go ahead and end the show, bro. I got nothing else after that, man. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, better. I should have said take titty out of your mouth. Stop being baby cakes.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, excuse my counterparts in their language.
Sorry, well,
we'll be back on air on next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. We're going to have the NFC predictions. We're going to have more football. We're going to have whatever is hot in the sports world. We're going to have it all covered for you. And next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss us. Good night.
I can't follow that. I appreciate y'all for downloading the show and listening to us. Like you said, we're going to talk about the NFC. And probably hopefully a little bit more baseball and definitely some football coming up. I know we talked about the conferences last week, but as we get closer, we get, you know, it's football time, baby. I'm ready. I hope y'all ready. Holler at y'all next Wednesday.
Good call. And we're going to talk about stuff, too. I'm curious about some Hall of Fame stuff, too, man. So, you know, it's good. Congratulations to the Hall of Fame inductees and everyone else in the Hall of Fame, too. And, there's going to be a run, man. I think it's going to be a run of wide receivers, man. That's what they're talking about, too, because eventually we're going to talk about some first bouts. You know, Randy Mosses of the world. You know, you've got Marvin Harrison. You know, I think T.O. will kind of be in that class, and that's kind of where it's kind of going, too, because, you know, there's some other people that are kind of calling the shots, too. But, again,
I really want to see T.O. up on that stage crying.
Man, he deserves to be in.
I just say, do y'all really want to see him up on that stage crying?
Yes, I do. I do. Crying full-blown crocodile tears. But him and Randy Moss in the same class would be so good for the NFL. I think that's what happens. That would be an awesome, awesome class.
That's what they're saying.
They got in together.
Yeah, keep an eye out for, like, there's certain classes that you see runs of certain players, and that's what I was hearing about. Like, you'll see a run of wide receivers, you know. So, obviously, you got, like I said, you got the T.O.'s, you got, you know, Randy Moss, you know, Jerry Rice. I don't think a couple guys that you're going to see as far as that, too, man. So, you know, anyway.
They've broken the logjam now that you've got Tim Brown and Chris Carter and Andre Reed in. They've kind of broken that logjam where you can get T.O. and Randy Moss and Marvin Harrison in there, and that – and that tier behind them, so to speak. So I agree. That's a good call, Dre.
Yep. Anyway, all good, man. So, all right, guys, man, gentlemen, it's been fun. I always enjoy talking sports with you guys. Get some rest. I know I'm going to get some rest here. Have a productive week. And until next time, we will see you guys soon. All right?
Good night, people.
Holla at you.